Let us pray. In this evening hour, Heavenly Father, we turn to Thee, seeking a blessing that would come from above through the leading of the Holy Spirit. We believe, Heavenly Father, that You will bless our being together as You oft times have done. And so we again rely upon Thee, and we pray that You will use Thy servant as a tool in Thy hand for Thy message. And so as we look into Thy word, we pray, Father, that it might be according to Thy will, and that it might bring glory and honor and praise to Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help this evening, I would like to read out of the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again unto every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of none effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persecution cometh not from him that calleth you. A little leaveneth the whole lump. And I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ are crucified, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let us bow before Him in prayer. Represents the freedom and the liberty in which we enjoy in this day and age. Over 200 years now, we've experienced this. And so, as we read this portion of Scripture, that's not the liberty that and freedom that the Apostle Paul is writing about. He mentions here, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, made us free. And what he's referring to us is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of that, as the brother prayed for those that are lost, those that don't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, for those that have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior and have not experienced this freedom that he's referring to and talking about, like you and I have, as those of us that are converted. And so, this is the freedom that he's talking about, and then he reminds us that to be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so he's writing this to believers. He's writing this to God's children. That's you and I. And so, he's reminding us here, since we have been made free, let us not go back into the bondage which we once were. And we all know how easy it is to follow the lust of the flesh, to follow the desires of the flesh, to ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So easily done sometimes. And so he warns us here not to be yoked again to that bondage. And then he talks about those that are circumcised and referring then to the Jews. Talks about circumcised, those that follow the circumcision and those that believe in it are living by the law. And the Jews did live that way. But in that, living in that and believing in that, then he says, Christ has no effect on you because you're living according to the law, which is according to the flesh, which is not according to the Spirit. And so this is what he's pointing out to us here. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. And so he reminds us here, because he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So he had to drive this point of being faithful to the Lord, not to depend on the fact that you are circumcised or you're uncircumcised. And to the Jews, that meant everything, to most of them. But he had to point out to them, it has no effect on you if you're in Christ Jesus. And so this is what he's writing to us here. Because he tells us here, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So there were some of those that were wanting to go back into the judiciary laws, if you will, wanted to live by the circumcision, wanted to be there, go through their rituals or whatever they wanted to do. And he says, no, you did run well, but who hindered you that ye should not obey the truth? So you see how that kind of thinking and that kind of tradition, if you will, would carry on over into them. And before you know it, they find themselves not even running well, as he says here, hindered. And so this persecution cometh not from him that calleth you. And then he reminds them that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So you see, when you want to push this kind of thing, when you want to live by the law and you want to live by the circumcision, then that's the leaven that he's talking about, and that leaven's the whole lump. And that's the very same thing that happens in the lives of believers, that when they run well, and they have, as he says here, if they have run well, but yet someone hindered them, that they should not obey the truth. And so when we don't obey the truth, then we find ourselves going back into this bondage that he's talking about here, losing our freedom, if you will, that we have in Christ, losing our liberty that we have in Christ. And so he's warning us here. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that ye would, that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that they were cut off which trouble you. So he had this, if you will, this nagging thing from the Jews that always seemed to interfere, always tried to, it was like a thorn in his side. The Jews always pushing that their way, and it just caused havoc in so many of the churches that the Apostle Paul was there. And so here he reminds us here that to stay away from those, if you will, that trouble us. And then he brings us up about the liberty. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh by the love, but by love serve one another. So even though we live and have this liberty in Jesus Christ, we have been made free from sin. We have died to sin, if you will, been baptized. And so now we have this liberty. This liberty is in Christ. But he reminds us here, just because you're in Jesus Christ, that doesn't give us any kind of right at all, whatsoever, to commit sin. And that's why he says here, don't let your liberty, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You can see how easy that would be for us to do. Oh, I'm a believer. I'm in Jesus Christ. And if I do this little thing, it's okay. I'm still in liberty with Christ. I've died with him. No, that doesn't work that way at all. And if you read in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, where he talks about being dead to sin and how we should yield our members as servants of righteousness and not unrighteousness, this is again exactly what he's talking about here. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serving one another. And for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. So this is how the sin can carry us into this. If we neglected and didn't guard the liberty which we have in Christ, this is what can happen here. Begin to bite and devour one another. In other words, we find fault and we begin to criticize and we do all kinds of things that ought not to be even in the brotherhood. And yet we find it. It happens. We know. That's because we have entangled ourselves again into the yoke of bondage. Got to guard against it all the time. All the time. And so then he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's easily said. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. The hard part comes, are we walking in the Spirit? We're all led by the Spirit. Wake up in the morning and you pray to God, give me the leading of the Holy Spirit of my life that I would not, and like the psalmist said, that I might hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Go against the, and it's so easy. We battle this back and forth of this flesh situation. And so, but if we, he makes it very plain and clear. You walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill this flesh. But sometimes we get off on our own tangent, our own way, our own thinking, our own whatever, and the next thing we know, we're fulfilling the lust of the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. But he reminds us, for flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he enumerates all the things of the flesh, which we probably very well know, but are reminded very clearly, very clearly. I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we look at this list, we look at our lives, and we compare our lives with this list, how well do we do? The question we need to ask ourselves, because we are in, even though we have the liberty in Christ, that still can come about us, these things that he's talking about here, these sins. I believe that when we commit these, we repent of it, we're not to do it over again. Or when we habitually cling to these things, envies, murder, and drunkenness, revelings, the whole gamut of them, that's when we are going to be back into the yoke of bondage. And he makes it very clear. As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that not only applies to the unconverted, but it applies to us that are God's children. We must walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's what all these are. That's all these sins that he's talking about here, that they're nothing more than fleshly desires. Fleshly desires. And when we live and try our best to avoid all of these, and how are we going to do that? We can do the way he says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's how we compensate to fulfill our lives with these rather than those things of the flesh. So you see, if you fill your life with the love and the joy and the peace, the long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, all of these things are connected together. These things should be found and seen in our spiritual walk, that others might see this in us and bring glory to God. That's the only reason we do this, to bring honor and glory to our God. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, they should be evident in our lives. And it, we can't just take one of them and say, well, the love, I have a lot of love, so I'm good to go. That's my main thing. I have joy and peace, so I'm okay, I'm good. No. You know, if we don't take the whole law, if we don't take the whole writing of God, if we don't take all of his word, then there's no point in taking one word of it. We're to take the whole thing, apply it to our lives and believe in it, trust in Him. That's our Christian walk. That's who we are. And these should be evident in our lives. And He says, as against such there is no law. And they that are Christ are have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So you see, then it comes back to this, when we go back to Romans 6, where we have died to sin, if you will. We've been buried in the likeness of Jesus Christ. We have been crucified. We have crucified the flesh. We have buried the old man. That's what Romans 6 is all about. And there we learn that we have, that's how we become baptized in the likeness of His death. And so we have crucified the flesh, as He says here. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. But she comes back, and when we think about this, it comes back to our beginning, if you will. It comes back to the point when we were first converted. And for some of us, that's been a long time. Some, it's not so long. But we still, I still believe that we must go back to our original desires, our original wants when we become converted. We wanted to serve the Lord. We didn't want to live in sin no longer. We wanted to obey the truth. And we wanted to do all these fruits that He refers to here. And so we had a yearning and a longing, and we did whatever it seemed to take to obey God's word, whatever it took, we was willing to do it. But somehow over the course of time, things changed a little bit. Things changed. And sometimes we get so grown used to doing our own thing and doing the things of the flesh that maybe we forgot a little bit of what we really originally started at, how we became dead to sin. You see, Satan knows the sins that we all had before. And that's what he brings up to us. That's what he offers us, because he knows that's what we was willing to do before. But we have become dead to that, but he still tries to convince us. He still tries to persuade us, tempt us, however you want to put it. And so we have this battle. Flesh against the Spirit. Flesh against the Spirit. Day in and day out. It never stops. Been in the faith over 50 years and it hasn't stopped yet. And I don't expect it to stop today or tomorrow. Because you see, Satan's out to devour whoever he can. And if he can find your weak spots, and he can tempt you with that, and he can draw you away from your first love and from your first desires and your first love to serve him, he'll try his hardest to do that. But we need to be careful that we don't go back into this yoke of bondage. And this is the crux of this whole chapter. This is what it's all talking about. To live in this joy and this peace and this long suffering and so forth. And then he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And as we're reminded Sunday about how we ought to walk circumspectly. Remember, that means living our lives, bringing honor and glory to God. That's what walking circumspectly is all about. And that's what he's saying here. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Provoking one another? Who wants to do that? But it happens. Maybe some of the things we say, some of the things we do, maybe the places that we go might provoke somebody. There's no room for it here, according to the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians. not desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So as we look at this word, and we think about the freedoms that we have, the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, let us remember that we have been bought with a price. We're not our own. We are Christ's, if so be that He lives in us. And when we are in Christ, we don't have room to give occasion to the flesh. As much as the desires of the flesh is there, we still have no liberty to do that. We have no right. We must stay away. And so I believe that this chapter here is an encouragement to us. It's instruction to us as we live our lives. It teaches us how to love one another, to serve one another. And that's what I believe Christian life is all about. How do we react to the Scriptures? How do we obey this? How do we live our lives on a daily basis? All that plays a part in our freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And so Jesus Christ came here upon this earth and fulfilled all the law. He became righteousness, and our faith in Him gives us this liberty. But the Galatians got caught in a trap. They wanted to go back to the law after they were enlightened by Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul, after an introduction, a quick greeting in the first chapter, gets right to the point. And he says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." He says, it's not another gospel. He says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Then he says it again, "As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Jesus Christ came to fulfill all righteousness. He came to fulfill the law. And our faith in Him gives us this liberty. Liberty from the condemnation. Liberty from having to fulfill all the law. He gave us this liberty. And so now the Apostle Paul is saying, stand fast in that liberty. Don't be moved from it. Stand fast in this liberty. And don't be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. If you're going to be justified by the law, you're fallen from this grace. And so it was a strong message to the Galatians. You can't be perfected in the Spirit and then think you're going to be well in the law. That's not going to happen. It's our redemption is in Jesus Christ. And so we have now this liberty by our faith in Jesus Christ. We have His righteousness. We are endued with His goodness. His Holy Spirit is embedded in us. It's given unto us to direct us. And so as we have this liberty, He's saying, here's what you do now. Serve one another in love. This is standing fast in the liberty that Christ made us free. This is how we do it. We serve one another in love. And then He continues on and says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you're fulfilling all the law. You're fulfilling it all. And so He says, walk in the Spirit. And then He says what the fruit of the Spirit is, and He begins with love. And so if we, as Jesus Christ did, as we sang there in this last verse, that he as He hung there on the cross, He was giving forgiveness to those who put Him there on the cross. Even to His enemies, He gave forgiveness. And he showed his love. That free grace was pleading from the cross. His love was shown to his very enemies. And we are, as God's people, are to walk in this same way. That as was prayed even now, that we would have this love even in difficult relationships. Not with our friends, but with those difficult relationships that we would have. That we would show the love that Christ showed. And then if we can commit all to the Lord, stand fast in this liberty, by love serve one another, walk in the Spirit, have the fruit of the Spirit abounding in us, we will have a peace and a joy that no man can take away. This is the liberty that the Bible here is referring to. No government can give us this liberty. We know that. It goes without saying. But Christ does. Christ gives us this liberty. Let's walk.